And you have an advantage because you've heard this is like the fourth time you've heard all these questions. So you know how I like to start this out. If I can have you say your name and what years it was that you served in the military.
Well, my name is Martha Washington Curtis Welch. I was born on a farm in Illinois. My parents lost their farm because of the crash. And we moved to Des Moines, Iowa when I was 7 years old. A great aunt of my father's aunt, took the family of five in.
Can I interrupt you here?
Yes.
Let me just make sure for the transcription that we get the correct spelling of Curtis and Welsh.
Yeah.
So can you please spell those two for me?
Okay. My maiden name is Curtis, spelled C-U-R-T-I-S-S, and Martha Custis is C-U-S-T-I-S. And I was born on George Washington's birthday, so that's why my name is Martha Washington. Anyway...
And Welsh, how do we spell Welsh?
W-E-L-C-H.
Okay.
Like Welch's grape juice, only we're not related.
I just want to make sure because, you know, like yes. I say, it helps with the transcription.
Right.
We have to have these things accurate.
Exactly.
Right. All right, so now let's go on. You were saying that your family had lost the farm with the Depression, and so you moved to Des Moines with your grandparents, to be with your grandparents.
With a great aunt.
Great aunt, excuse me.
Yeah. Anyway, from there, I just evolved like most kids do. I went to high school in Des Moines, Iowa, and graduated in 1939. I took voice lessons. I went to Drake University for 1 year.
Where's Drake University?
It's in Des Moines, mm-hmm. Iowa. And I took music. And I had thought that I would eventually have a musical career. Well, or teach music is what I had, or give voice lessons or something. But, pardon me, as the war came along, since my hometown was the hometown of the wax, I thought I didn't really want to go in the wax because that was that I'd stay home. So I had seen the uniforms of the Waves, and I thought they were pretty sharp. So I decided I would join the Waves.
Now, why did you feel the need to join a branch of the military service?
Well, partly because my brother was in the paratroop infantry, and he was overseas in Europe. And he had written that, well, this was later. He wasn't objecting to my going the service. I had written that I was thinking of going in. I thought I might as well do something worthwhile. So I did join. And I went to Hunter College, Bronx, New York, which is the training station for Waves at that time. And
careful.
Then if it didn't pull it out.
It didn't. It didn't. We're still
good.
Okay.
Anyway, after boot camp, they sent me to the Naval Training Station in Newport, Rhode Island. Now, this training station was called a pre-commissioning station, where the ships that were being commissioned, our base outfitted those ships with their personnel for the, you know, because we had aircraft carriers, we had...
You found it.
Oh, I got it.
Good, good. All right, so let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and continue.
Yeah, aircraft carriers and what do you call them, tin cans, the destroyers.
Just to clarify for me here, because I seem to recall you saying the story. You didn't end up going to any,
school. No,
you went directly. went directly to a base.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Why did that? How did that happen?
I didn't have the training to be a yeoman, per se. So I wound up doing the service jackets of servicemen that were, well, they send the papers through that have missed being filed in the service jackets of servicemen that are overseas someplace or have just been reassigned. So I would reassign the papers that were lost over toward the men and look them up to see where they were sent. And then we would send these medicals and all that sort of thing to the wherever these servicemen were sent.
Why? Because a lot of everyone else, you're the only person that I've spoken with who hasn't gotten. I mean, the Navy gave this extra training to people. They said, you know, here, we need you to do this. We need you to do this. Here's your extra training. So why didn't you get that sort of extra training?
I didn't ask for it, for one thing. And perhaps, I don't know, maybe they figured I didn't qualify enough to be a yeoman. The yeomen were, they had to be a good typist. And they had to have some good clerical training in their background, and I didn't have it. I was just a simple seaman, and I'm still a simple seaman.
But you also had another job that you did. Not a job, really, but it was you had another role while you were serving in the Navy, correct?
Yeah, I used to sing in church services on some aboard some of the ships, sometimes before they went over, they've gone overseas. And sometimes later, but I loved going out to and singing aboard the ships. That was fun.
And so that's what now. So who would you
I
sing for?
The servicemen, yeah, that were aboard ship.
Yeah. How many people were in your? Was it you solo, or did you have a group of women?
Usually I soloed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that seems like it would be really. I mean, I know you're a singer and everything, but still, that seems like it would be rather nerve wracking and kind of a you know, it's a different sort of job.
Yeah, I loved it.
What was so great about it?
Well, just performing, generally speaking. I had studied voice with a well-known instructor in Des Moines, Iowa, and really, really enjoyed music. you know, the popular music of the day, and there was a small band there, and sometimes I sang with that band, and there was another friend from California that had, she wasn't a friend until she came to California, but she was a singer also, and between the two of us, they had us moving around to different bases and such, and singing in musical programs.
That has to be. Well, yeah, and it seems like it would have been, I mean, it's kind of, it's
fun.
A special type of job. Yeah. Not everyone can do that.
Well, that's true. That's very true. It's nice to have a talent and enjoy doing it. And that, to me, was a talent. I was lucky.
Oh, yeah, I would say so. I would think so.
In fact, one time, before I went in the waves, I was in California. And I was invited to sing at the USO.
You went to California a couple of times before. I mean, I remember you were talking about this before. Yeah. You didn't. You lived in Illinois, but before you joined the Waves, you ended up going to California, correct?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, a friend of my son's was taking a trip to California and wanted to know if I wanted to ride out with them. And I said, sure, I'd love to. So I came to California then, and I used to sing in their choirs out here sometimes. Well, here, this is not California.
I understand.
Anyway, I really enjoyed the musical programs, and I enjoyed being able to perform.
It just seems like it was, I mean, it's a great, and you're doing to a large degree. You're also being a great morale boost for the servicemen that are there, being able to see, you know, hear the popular songs, a pretty young girl singing these songs, all of that sort of stuff. I mean, that's a good, that's an important role to be playing.
Yeah, it was. It was fun. It was delightful.
So where did you end up being mostly stationed when you were in the military, when you were in the Navy?
In Newport, Rhode Island. the entire time I was in the Waves. I never asked for a change of venue at all.
Why was that?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
I was happy where I was. And my there was a time when some of the Waves could have gone transferred over to Hawaii, because Hawaii didn't have that many Waves on it at that time. But I didn't go. I was a little afraid to. I thought that they had been broken into, I had heard. And I thought, well, I really don't want to get over someplace where I have that kind of problem. So I didn't go. But
did you, when the women were asked to serve, I mean, you were filling in, you were serving jobs, freeing men so that they could go serve overseas. Did you ever, feel any resentment from men or anything like that when you did these jobs?
Oh, heavens, no, not with me. I wasn't freeing a man to sing someplace else or anything
True.
Like that. So, no, all my little jobs was just so simple. And I wasn't a big shot yeoman. And most of the other women earned their ranks and rates by what their capabilities served. And mine was not anything that was going to be something that would grow.
You knew that you were going to be in this position, and that was basically what you would do because of your training.
Because I enjoyed it. Right.
The Waves, there were...
Careful.
The Waves at the, at the time, let's go back. I'm sorry. Got distracted there for a second. You talked about liking the uniform. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the uniform.
Well, I don't know. I just didn't particularly care for the WAC uniforms, because that was local, and that was something I saw every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I was more interested in number one, getting out away from home, and seeing New York. I was interested in getting to the East Coast. So that's one of my basic reasons for it. It was strictly personal.
Mm-hmm.
Desire to get to the East Coast.
I know that when I read the oral history from Mildred McAfee, she was talking about the uniforms, and she said, they put a lot of thought into those uniforms. And she talked about the uniforms for pages and pages and pages of this oral history interview.
Yeah.
And you said, you liked them. This was what was it about them that you found so attractive?
I liked the color, for one thing, mm-hmm. because they were very flattering, I thought. And I just liked being in the uniform, for one thing. My brother was, a paratroop officer,
mm-hmm.
in Europe, and he had written me once that he had he had worn the same pair of undershorts for 30 days. So I thought, well, I'll run down to the ship store and I'll send him I sent him a whole bunch of undershorts. But you see, he was in combat area where I don't know what was happening to them not to be able to change clothes, but maybe they just didn't have the facilities
mm-hmm.
at their disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me.
He ended up having. I mean, he ended up getting. He got captured, didn't he, at one point?
Yes, but that wasn't in World War II.
Okay, that was later on.
Okay. Very much so. Yes.
So let's continue. So we'll get to that, but let's continue through World War II. What happened? Where were you on VJ Day as the war ended?
VJ Day, I was at Newport, Rhode Island,
mm-hmm.
and everybody was elated.
I'm sure
that of course this VE Day is what I'm referring to is mm. where when the European war was over, and we were absolutely thrilled to death that part of our men were coming home, and which, of course, my brother was one.
That was a good thing.
Yeah.
What was it like, though? What was the atmosphere like?
Well, we were all so delighted, pardon me, that, I don't know, I think we had a party. It's hard to remember those details.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly where I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to give me the date of when DJ Day was, and then I can tell you where.
Start piecing back.
Yeah.
You mentioned while... Well, Myrtle was talking about the about President Roosevelt visiting.
That was when I was in boot camp.
Tell me about that.
At Hunter College, Bronx, New York. Yeah, he came for inspection, and we were in the armory there. Pardon me, at Hunter, and it was shortly before we were sent to our duty station. Yeah, that was an interesting day.
So what was so interesting about it? What happened?
Just that he was there, and he was the president of the United States. Yeah. And to have him be there, and you felt honored, very, very honored, that here was this brilliant man coming to review all these young women, and you felt you're part of that young woman.
Of course, the president is our commander in chief.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes.
It was our top boss.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
did it help to make you feel that what you were doing kind of was an important? You were doing
it. Yeah, sure. Yeah, only I didn't feel near as important as I felt the gals that I was working with were.
Why is that?
Well, they had more training than I did, and so consequently, they had more responsibility. I had very little responsibility per se, except to have some IBM files, and to look up their names of these people whose medicals and all sorts of information that needed to be in those files. Mm-hmm. And I was just very glad that was a job that I could do that was worthwhile.
Did you ever think when you were growing up that you would be doing a job like that?
Heavens no.
What did you think you were going to be doing?
Singing. Yeah.
Yeah. You were hoping to be like, you know, like one of the, like, you know, one of the stars, the singing stars of the day?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, of course. That with the musicals and everything that were happening, that was
right.
A big...
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, you know, it was a big role.
It was fun.
As the war started to end, and, you know, when did you leave the Waves?
After the war was over, after VJ Day.
Okay.
And I was sent to Illinois, to the Naval Recruiting Station, I guess it was, where they discharge the people from the service. And that's where I was discharged, was at the Illinois... It wasn't a training station. No. Can you think what it was?
I can't think of the names.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. You can
write. I can't think of the names of where we sent anybody. Well, it could have been a recruiting or base closest to your home or closest to somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't have any that was that close to my home other than... the station in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a name for it.
Yes.
There was a name for it because that's what I had in the...
Well, we can come back to that. I mean, we can get the name. We can pick up the name at some later time. That's okay. So, when was this that you were discharged?
let's see, the date, it was either November or December.
Of 1945?
46, I think. 46? 45 or 46.
Were you in for a full, I mean, because if you were in, it was a 46?
I was in a year and a half.
So it was, no, but you, so were you, you were in a full, when did you join again? I'm sorry.
I think it was December of 1944.
Okay. So you were in almost a year after the war ended.
After the VE Day, yes.
Okay. Okay, because a lot of women were gone, like pretty quick after
them. A lot of our girls didn't stay in long at all.
Yeah. So you were there a little bit longer, and then finally, ultimately, got discharged. Did you met anyone at this point, or were you? What did you do after you got discharged?
I went home, and I went on. I started on the GI Bill, at Drake University.
So you went back to college.
Yes, I started back at college, and then I had a appendicitis attack. Within less than 6 months after I was home, so I went into the Veterans Hospital there, and I had a surgery on my appendix, and from there. I started college, at Drake University, but after I had the surgery, I wasn't too gung-ho to be chasing around places, so I just stayed home, and eventually I met my husband, and I had known he and his family from the time I was a little girl, but his family were educators. His father was a professor of social studies, and his mother was a professor of English. And really, real, real nice family. And my parents were real pleased.
So you met him, and you guys got married.
Right.
When was this?
Let's see. Well, we were married December 20th, 1946.
Okay.
And then...
47.
My first child was born in 1949.
Okay.
He just turned 57 at September 1st. Yeah.
How did you end up in California?
Well, I had liked the weather out here before in California when I... And everybody that ever went through California from the service, half of them wound up coming back. And so I was one that did.
So you, when you came here before, it was through the service. I didn't realize it was through the service. I thought you had come out on your own.
Well, I did. Yeah, okay. I came out on my own. A friend of my son's, a friend of my brother's was driving to California on a vacation. Okay. And I just came out with that person. I stayed in a... worked in a bakery in Linwood, and eked out a living, and I mean that literally, because you didn't make much money in a bakery. You know, this is why there's no background on any Social Security for me. But then later on, after my children were growing, I was busy with my family. Very busy with my family because I was determined that my children were going to enjoy a certain amount of life that I never experienced. So they all became AAU swimmers. And my oldest son made All-American three times when he was, all three of them were distance swimmers and had endurance. But that's beside the point.
No, but it's a good, I mean, no, it's just, you know, you gave them things and it gave them a tool that they could use when they, to go to school and all these other sort of things.
Right.
You say you wanted to give them something that you didn't have. Was this because of losing the farm, growing up in the Depression?
No, it was because I could see that I missed enjoying swimming. And it seemed to me that kids loved, really, really enjoyed swimming. And I thought, I'm not going to let my kids miss it. So they didn't.
You also, after the waves, ended up having a very rich volunteer life, correct?
Yes, I worked with the California Special Olympics for I worked with the lady who was director of aquatics for the National Special Olympics program, and she wrote all the rules and regulations for the swimming and diving programs for it, and I worked directly with her. She was the director of aquatics for LA County, and when she retired, she said, "Well, Martha, it's your ball of wax." So I carried on her job of running the swimming and diving program for the state games for California for about 8 years after she retired.
And this was all volunteer?
Yes. Yes.
What motivated you to do this sort of volunteer work?
Well, partly because I got started when my own children were growing up, and the retarded program is it's such a worthwhile program that you can see what happens with these athletes when they have accomplished something that would have been not within their grasp without that program.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great.
Do you think that because you were a member of the Waves that made you more open to volunteering for something?
Well, I don't know whether that had any bearing on it or not. But it could have, yes.
I just wonder because I see a lot of the women that I've spoken with have done... I mean, I've talked to a lot of women who have done a lot of volunteer work. So yeah. I'm wondering, you know, okay, is it something... And there, you know, so is it something that came
well,
because
now,
of their
I should
service?
Have. I had not known that we were supposed to report the hours that we had given all those years, because I worked with the novice program for Los Angeles County for mm-hmm. years as a volunteer. I was the inspector. Well, oh. I get confused.
Yeah, no, that's all right. There's so many things that you need to, you know, don't worry about those little detail things. That's okay. But you said you should have reported. Who should you have reported them to?
To the Waves.
Well, were you volunteering after you joined the Waves National? Or did
no.
you do it before that?
I didn't do it during the Waves, no.
After you got discharged and yeah, before you right. joined Waves National, were you doing this volunteering?
Yes, yes.
See, well,
that most of it
count.
Was before. That's right.
See,
you're
that
right.
wouldn't
so,
count for quite, no, volunteer so, service.
So okay, I'm lost here. Count for what?
For volunteer hours that Waves have give in of their own time after having had been in the service. Why they give all their women credit for all these volunteer hours that they donate.
It's to keep we volunteer our hours now and report them to the Waves National to keep us tax free.
Oh, for the organization.
Oh,
the organization.
See.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't
that
realize
type.
That.
That
yes.
type.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what they were harping on at the meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not harping, but commenting.
Yeah.
There's so many of you that never
that
turned in your
volunteer
yes. hours. It would help us so much.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was confused
yeah.
here as to what where yeah. the volunteer.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
What where yeah. why it was important to report them. That's where I was getting
yeah.
a little bit lost. Okay. That makes
right.
sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I was asking, so if it's something, you know, like I said, that started with, I know a lot of women who've done this. I mean, and they've
yeah.
done it, they didn't just do it since they became members of Waves National.
Mm. Yeah.
They've done it all their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. To a point.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so
right.
it's, I find it just this, there's this interesting common thread that I'm seeing in a lot of the women I've spoken with, that
yeah.
they had this very rich volunteer life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think maybe, I mean, did you want to volunteer for doing these jobs because of the sort of work you had done at Waves and you had realized that you wanted to be able to do something other than being a wife and mother and doing housework and those sorts of things?
Well, I feel guilty that I didn't give credit where credit is due is the way I feel about it now. That I think all of us who have done some volunteering on the side and haven't reported it for the good of the program, mm-hmm. I think. I feel that I should have done more.
Well, but you still did. I mean, like I say, I mean, you still did a lot. I'm just wondering if it's, you know, it's because you felt a need in your own life to be doing something instead of just outside of the house.
Yeah, to a point, yes. I'm not doing anything too much now. This, you see, now I should be volunteering now, actually.
You got the time to do it now.
Yes, you're right. But now I'm in a bind because I can't drive.
Mm.
And as I have a car, that's a darling car, and it's good gas mileage, mm-hmm. and everything, but I'm afraid to drive it, partly because I am subject to strokes now,
mm-hmm.
and my mother died of strokes.
You want to be careful.
Yes, exactly.
How many children did you tell me you had three children?
Three. I have two boys and a girl.
Two boys and a girl. What did they end up doing with their lives?
Well, my oldest son raced off-road for many years, and he owned a VW wrecking yard, and he had sold that in just recent years. He has been married. He married a girl that had two children, and he encouraged the one boy. He has his degree in art, of all things, but he made All-American in running.
Mm-hmm.
For the college up at Santa Barbara.
Oh, he went to UCLA. That's where, yeah. My alma mater.
Oh.
And then what about your other son?
The younger one is he's a senior lifeguard. He's in charge of the lifeguards out at the lake, at Nellie Lake.
You're the one who said he'd been with LA County for so long.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's a good job. That's an important job.
Yeah, it is. And they have to have EMT-1 training before they can even be lifeguards, mm-hmm. now. In practically every state, every lifeguard, or every pool that's run by any county or state facility, their lifeguards have to have EMT-1 training, mm-hmm. emergency medical training.
Yeah, it's an important,
very,
very important job.
Yes.
What about your daughter?
She got her degree to teach, and then she met her husband, and they own a business called Wrightwood Racing, and she they put together parts that they sell worldwide. On for Porsches.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So I mean, your family, you know, the kids have done some
interesting things. Yes.
Very much so. Yes, very much so. When you know, if you had it to do over again, would you have? I mean, would you have changed anything? Would you have not? Would you have joined the waves again and changed anything?
I would have, because I wouldn't have had any reason not to. You know, at that time. I was delighted to go in the waves, because I just felt I was actually going to have an experience that I felt was beneficial.
I'm sure you've also seen, I mean, things have just changed. The changes that have taken place since then, I mean, you know, you look at so many of the women I've talked to have said it was just so different then. You can't understand how different it was and the atmosphere and everything.
Well, that's true too, yeah. There were so many things that we were not allowed to do. When you couldn't get married, for instance. You weren't supposed to get married, and if you did and you got pregnant, you're out on your ear just that quick.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, many things have changed, but the whole perspective of method of living has changed.
Mm-hmm.
The technologies have changed. Mm-hmm. So our children's children, their lives are not going to be as easy, you might say, as I think our children's lives were. But I don't know. I could be.
Well, you raised your kids all in one spot.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right.
Where I took mine
all over the place.
All over right. the place. Right. We had maybe nine transfers, mm-hmm. but my kids grew up with their classmates were all military.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
or three quarters of them were military.
Yes, they would be. Sure.
And I think World War II broke up the families in general.
Yeah.
And spread us all over the place.
Right.
I mean, I'm from New England. My husband was born in New Jersey, moved to Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I met him in Philadelphia. I joined the Navy. Never came back home.
Mm-hmm.
And how many fellas overseas met foreign brides and brought them back home?
Oh, lots yeah. of them.
Lots
yes.
of them.
It
yeah.
just, the World War just
exploded.
Broke up the... it broke up the families all over because we never yeah. came. Once we got discharged, we never came back to our hometown.
No, that's right, mostly.
And you'll find the older generation, my mother's generation, they all lived. All the families lived
close in proximity.
Close,
yes.
If they had acres and acres of farmland, they gave their son so many acres, and they built a house there.
Right.
And build up on the farm, and
exactly.
they just lived in the communities.
My mother, there were 10 children in my mother's family, mm-hmm. 5 boys and 5 girls, 5 with brown eyes and 5 with dark brown eyes and dark hair, and 5 blue-eyed with blonde hair. Yeah, and that was an interesting family, and they had a lot of farmland in Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and that's exactly what happened with those families. They were split up, and they did give them land for their, you know.
But it's...
Do you think, I mean, I asked Myrtle this, and I'm curious to what you might think of it, Martha. Do you think that, I mean, did you ever think that you were a trailblazer when you were in the waves?
Heavens no.
Never gave it a thought.
Not a thought. Not at all.
It was just what you were doing what you needed to do.
That's right. Well, yeah, you did what you felt was helping. You thought, and what was good mm-hmm. and doing the right thing. You might say. When I went in the waves, it was partly because of my brother having been overseas mm-hmm. and like I say. He had been in some front lines over there, and apparently he had worn the same pair of undershorts for 2
yeah,
weeks.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't have laundry facilities.
No, mm-hmm. no, and they didn't have access to.
It's to just clean hard to imagine what the boys went through.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. No, I know it is. It's really.
You're living in foxholes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sure were.
What about now looking back, when you see what you were doing? Do you think now looking back, wow, I did something that was kind of special, or do you think that what you just did was what you did?
What is impressive to me now is the reaction of people who didn't know what we were doing then and give us so much
yeah.
credit.
Just
now.
Just here on the ship.
Yes.
Shake your hand. Thank you for what you did.
Yes.
What did I do? I did nothing. It was yeah. my job.
Mm-hmm.
I went out. I think to me it was really a chance to get away from home.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted yeah. to get away from See? Home when I graduated from high school.
Didn't That's happen. Typical mm-hmm. of kids
a,
and, mm-hmm. today well, even. They so you, all want to get away from home, always.
Yeah, so is it generation, the generations, are is it people that lived through World War II who are grateful, or is it, or are you seeing it from people now that maybe didn't even know the waves existed?
Yes, it's people yeah. that didn't know the waves existed a lot, yes.
So
people
many
on
of
the
them
ships that, that, thank you for what you did.
It's not now, in the history, it's not in your school books.
No, and so many people never heard of what waves stood for.
Mm-hmm.
Wave women accepted for volunteer emergency service. Simple.
So we volunteer our services so the men could go do this same paperwork that they were doing aboard the base. They could do it overseas because they wouldn't send the girls overseas.
Mm-hmm. But now they do.
Now they do. Now,
because that's, of women's lib, the girls are living aboard ship. Maybe they're not living side by side with...
Who knows?
With a sailor. No, but I mean, they're not bunked in the same area.
No, they aren't bunked in the same area.
No, they're not.
Just like in the hospitals, they don't put a male and a female in the same room.
Right, right.
But...
Do you have anything else that you would like to add?
I don't know what it would be.
Okay, well, this is fine. You know, if you think of anything, you can always be in touch with me. I'm going to stop this right now.